Rindal, it is indeed a pleasure to be invited back into your Barbarossa River once again, and we would like to take a moment to express our greetings to the Astrosian as well. To express our gratitude for your once again allowing us this opportunity to enter into your Barbarossa River and to share and to interact with the Astrosian. Now, before we begin, we would suggest that there exists the opportunity for those of you who are interested in meditating to alter your consciousness, and in that altered state of consciousness have the opportunity to be involved in what we like to refer to as a silent communication or a telepathic interaction and exchange of information with other entities that would be with us on this evening, or indeed that portion that you like to refer to as your higher self or that spark of consciousness that you are. And many times the information that you receive in that altered state of consciousness is much more pertinent to your individual needs and desires than is this information that we attempt to express through this rather limited use of the vocabulary. And so we would encourage you to become involved in that altered state of consciousness, in that meditative state, and you will find that as a result of the energy that each of you have participated in creating in this space of this evening, that it's quite easy for you to alter your consciousness and to enter into that meditative state and to partake in that telepathic exchange of information. But of course, the choice to be involved in that activity is yours, absolutely. Well, we would encourage it. It's always your choice, absolutely. Now, allow us to give you a description of what we see as this reality that you exist in, how you create it, how you sustain it, and why you exist, why you choose to be here. You exist in what we like to refer to as a vibrational level. We use the term vibrational level simply because it lends itself to an explanation of this reality that you choose to exist in. It really doesn't matter what label you place upon it. You can call it a plane of existence if you wish, some type of reality. It really doesn't matter. We utilize that term of a vibrational level because this vibrational level that you exist in exists in the same space, in the same time, as a multitude of vibrational levels. It's like we use the analogy that you understand absolutely that there are in your Earth's atmosphere a multitude of various frequencies, radio wave frequencies, all existing within the same time and same space. And through the utilization of your various types of apparatus, it's possible for you to tap into one of those vibrations, one of those frequencies, while eliminating all the rest. You understand that absolutely. And so it is that existing within the same time and same space, similar to your radio wave frequencies, there are a multitude of vibrational levels. And you choose to tap into, if you wish, or to be aware of this vibrational level that each of you exist in. This vibrational level, in many ways, is very similar to all of the other vibrational levels that exist throughout all of creation. There is, however, a very unique difference in your vibrational level, because the entities, each of you, that exist within this vibrational level have become involved in producing and sustaining what we like to refer to as an electromagnetic type of energy, what some of your so-called New Agers might refer to as a veil. And this veil, this electromagnetic type of energy, has some very unique functions in your vibrational level that don't exist in other vibrational levels. One of those unique features is that you, as you enter into this vibrational level, put in place that electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. It limits your capacity to understand the level of your abilities to create. Not only in your awakened consciousness state, but through all levels of the various consciousness states that you exist in this vibrational level, whether you're in your awake consciousness state, or in a meditative state, or in a dream state, or what you might refer to as a between incarnational state, when you die, in other words, you still exist within this vibrational level, and you still exist under the influences of that veil that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. When you're in your awakened consciousness state, you believe that this is the most important part of your creation process, that this is it, this is the real existence. And the irony of it is that the real existence is within the attribute. It's who and what you truly are. It's that spark of consciousness that you are, that exists within the attribute. And you choose to hide from that understanding of who and what you truly are. And as you alter your levels of consciousness, as you go into your meditative states and into your dream states, and even into that between incarnational state, you come much closer to understanding and to existing in the real world. But this world that you experience in your awakened consciousness state is the most illusionary world. And that becomes difficult to accept. Absolutely, we understand that. But nonetheless, we would challenge each of you to remain in your awake consciousness state indefinitely. Each of you understands absolutely that at some point you will sleep. At some point you will alter your consciousness. What you don't understand is that it's in that dream state, in that deep dream state where you are involved in other creations, when you're involved in experiencing other realities, you are in a much closer state of what it really is, what the real, than what you are in your awakened consciousness state. You understand that you will sleep. You understand as well that at some point you will die. You understand as well that in that level of consciousness there's a possibility that you may sustain it forever. It's the real state of consciousness. Your awake consciousness state is the illusion. You put in place that electromagnetic type of veil that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. And this is the reason why you create that type of reality, because we'll get to that in a few moments. So you exist in this vibrational level with that electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. It also has another function, in that it limits the ability for anyone existing outside of your vibrational level to create within your vibrational level. That's important to understand and to grasp that concept. There is not one entity existing outside of your vibrational level that has the capacity or the ability, in rather ironically, even the desire to interfere or to create in your reality. To create in your reality is an ability that's available to each and every entity. You have but to choose to enter into your vibrational level and to agree to participate in that sustaining of the veil. It's one of what we refer to as the human consciousness belief systems. You have what we refer to as three different levels of belief systems. You have a human consciousness belief system that you all agree to participate in. It's a consensus among your so-called human consciousness state that when you enter into this vibrational level, there are certain beliefs that you will put in place and that you will accept as being real, that you can't change. Your laws of physics, for example, are prime examples of what we refer to as your human consciousness belief systems. And one of those belief systems is this belief in this sustaining of the veil, the electromagnetic type of energy. You agree to participate in that. And so when you're in your awakened consciousness state, you are actually in the illusionary state of your consciousness. You simply choose to hide from that understanding. You simply choose to believe that this is real, that this reality you experience in your awakened consciousness state is real. And so you exist in this vibrational level by choice, and you agree to participate in the human consciousness belief system. And one of those belief systems, which is very difficult for you to step outside of, is your belief in time and space. You believe that there is this passage of time, and you go through all types of creation processes to validate it. You go through your incarnational period. You go through your being born, if you wish, into your infancy, into your adolescence, into your adulthood, and eventually you become a senior and you die. And so you go through this evolutionary process. It validates your belief in time and space. It makes it real. It makes it appear that it's beyond your capacity to control. But time and space are illusionary. They don't really exist. And when you're in your altered state of consciousness, when you're in your meditative state and in your dream state, you have the capacity to understand that indeed time and space are illusionary. It's not real. We use the analogy that it's like you enter into a theater and you see a projection upon the screen. And when you sit in that theater, you go through all types of emotions and feelings in the passage of time, while it may in your awakened consciousness state be very limited. Nonetheless, that projection upon the screen can be involve perhaps the passage of several of your years. You accept that that's possible because it's an illusionary projection of someone else's projection upon a screen. It's a trick of light, and you understand that absolutely. But when you leave the theater, when you walk out into your real world, and you experience the atmosphere and what it's like, and what your climate is being involved in, now that's real. That becomes more difficult for you to accept because you agree to put in place that electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand the illusion. And you agree to sustain those human consciousness belief systems. Each of you becomes involved in that process by choice. We will suggest to you this evening many times, by choice. It's important to grasp that concept by choice. And so you have your human consciousness belief systems, belief in time and space, very difficult for you to step outside of. Very difficult. And yet time and space are illusionary. They don't exist other than in your awakened consciousness state. Which you have difficulty as well in grasping your understanding in this time and space concept is that your past is as adjustable as your future. It doesn't really exist. It's an illusion. You create it continuously. It becomes very difficult to give an explanation because it doesn't matter what type of terminology one attempts to utilize. It's all based upon your belief in time and space. If we suggest, for example, that you exist in the now, then you look at that and say, well, that's now. That's not in the past and that's not in the future. That's now. And that's not really how it is. Because you see, the past and the future are all combined into one. They don't really exist. It's an illusion. And you not only have the capacity to alter your past, you do so on a regular basis. You just don't understand it in your awakened consciousness state, but in altered states of consciousness, you're absolutely involved in that process. Because you see, all of these particular vibrational levels are existing within the same time and same space. You are a multidimensional personality. You simply choose, once again, in your awakened consciousness state, to fixate upon this particular incarnational period while eliminating all the rest. This is what's real. This is what's important to each of you. It's what you choose to believe because it makes it seem real. And so you have those human consciousness belief systems. You also have what we refer to as societal belief systems. And each of you are familiar with various types of societal belief systems. You have throughout your earth systems various societies who hold different beliefs than another society. What's rather ironic is that each society many times believes that theirs is superior to the other. And it doesn't matter which one it is. It's like, well, what we believe, that's the way it is. These other people are kind of mixed up. They don't get it. And ironically, those other people feel exactly the same way. And so you have societal belief systems that influence the reality that you experience in your day-to-day activities. Much easier to step outside of a societal belief system than a human consciousness belief system. Human consciousness belief systems are very rigid. Not impossible, but very difficult for you to step outside of. The societal belief systems, not so much so. There you have that opportunity to alter those beliefs that you hold in a particular society. And then you have what we refer to as individual belief systems. Now it's rather ironic that there are various individual belief systems that it's quite easy for you to alter and to change. But there are other individual belief systems that is very difficult for you, not only to alter and to change, but to understand, to grasp, and to accept the responsibility for. You see, once again, you in your awakened consciousness state believe that this is it. This is the most important part. And yet it's in your subconsciousness, in the between incarnational states, that many of your decisions and your choices are made. When you're in that between incarnational state, for example, you put in place various beliefs and belief systems. You enter into agreements with other individuals to be involved in certain scenarios when you are reborn, when you enter into another incarnational period. You all agree to participate so that each of you can be involved in that activity for your own various reasons. And there you make choices. You put in place beliefs and belief systems that you bring into that incarnational period. You make the choice. You make the choice. And many times, those belief systems are belief systems that you put in place for the opportunity to experience a certain reality throughout that existence in that incarnational period. And so you put in place a belief system that should you make certain choices and decisions, should you hold certain attitudes, should you hold certain desires, have the opportunity to be experienced in a lifetime. And those particular belief systems you store within your DNA. Your scientists used to believe that that one portion of your DNA was like the junk portion. They believed that it was simply something left over from your evolutionary process. But they're beginning to understand that there's absolutely opportunities for experiences for you to have within an incarnational period that are contained within that DNA. And the choices and decisions that you make throughout your existence, your thoughts and feelings, your desires, what you wish to bring into your reality, influences the energy that surrounds the DNA. And as a result of the alteration of that energy that surrounds your DNA, you take what was at one time brought into an incarnation period as a probability and you turn it into a possibility. Or conversely, you take what was a possibility and turn it into a probability. And so you can experience it or not experience it, depending upon, once again, your beliefs and belief systems, depending upon your choices and decisions. What do you desire? What is it possible for you to experience? What do you want to experience? Now, that can become very difficult for people to accept. It's really easy to accept if the experience is one that you desire. If it's one that you look upon and say, oh, that's a very desirable experience, I can accept the responsibility for that experience. But if it's not so desirable, if it's one that you look upon as being less than desirable, then it becomes an entirely different story. Are you suggesting that I made the choices and decisions and that's what I desire to experience is really negative reality? Absolutely. This reality that you experience is a reflection of the beliefs you hold. your human consciousness belief system, combined with the societal belief system, combined with your individual belief system, create a total belief system that's responsible for the reality that you experience. It's important to grasp that understanding. The belief systems that you hold are responsible for the reality you experience, without exception. Now that becomes very difficult, once again, when this reality that you are experiencing is less than desirable. But consider the alternative. If you're not responsible for it, if it's not as a result of your choices and decisions, if it's not as a result of your beliefs and belief systems, then it means as well that you can't change it, that you're not in control. Now, the irony of it is that that veil that you put in place goes to great lengths for you to create a reality where you believe you're not in control. You believe that the reality you experience many times is simply the result of certain influences that are outside of your capacity to influence or to control. And we would suggest that it's absolutely not that way. We would suggest that the reality that you experience is a reflection of the beliefs you hold, without exception. Now, if you take that a step farther, then it means that you create your reality. And we would suggest that that's the absolute truth. You see, when we suggested the veil was put in place, we said that there's this limitation for any entity existing outside of your vibrational level to influence or to create your reality. And that's how it exists. If you choose to believe that you're not in control, you can have that. It's not a right or wrong. This is not a right or wrong concept. This is a validation of the beliefs that you hold. If you believe that you have guides and angels that are creating your reality and influencing it, you can have that. Absolutely, you create it all. It's a validation of the belief you hold. There is no right or wrong when it comes to creating your reality. The right or wrong concept comes from your awake consciousness state. You put in place that judgment as to whether or not it's right or wrong, good or bad, desirable or less than desirable. The spark of consciousness that you are, the spark of consciousness that you are, that creates this reality, carries with it no such judgment, but gives to you that which you desire, to validate your beliefs and belief systems, without judging whether it's right or wrong, but rejoices in the creation process. It's when you're in your awakened consciousness state that you decide whether or not it's a desirable or less than desirable reality. But from the level at which you create that reality, there is absolutely no such judgment. It gives to you that which you desire. It validates the beliefs and belief systems that you hold. And those individual belief systems that you hold many times are put in place, once again, in your so-called between incarnational state, when you're making choices for the opportunity to experience certain issues, certain realities, in a particular incarnational period, in a particular lifetime. Be those what you, once again, in your awakened consciousness state, might view as being either negative or positive, desirable or less than desirable. From the level at which you create that reality, there is no such judgment. The spark of consciousness that you are creates whatever it is that you desire to validate your beliefs and belief systems, and rejoices in the creation process, without judging whether it's right or wrong. Your higher self, if you wish, or that spark of consciousness that you are, doesn't wake up one morning and say, well, I think that today I'm going to make this very difficult for this individual. I think they need a very bad day. Or they don't wake up in the morning and say, well, I think that this will make this a better day. They don't have any such judgment. They give to you that which you desire. They validate your beliefs and belief systems, your choices and decisions. What do you believe? It's really that simple. What do you believe? And so, if there's this concept that this spark of consciousness that you are, that creates this reality for you, but limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are, and how that creation process works, particularly in your waking consciousness state, then why on earth would you enter into this vibrational level in the first place? Why would you put in place that electromagnetic type of energy that makes your life seem sometimes so miserable and at other times so great, but nonetheless seemingly beyond your capacity to control? Why would you enter into that type of a reality? Well, the answer is disarmingly simple. You entered into this vibrational level because in this vibrational level where you put in place that electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are and how it is that you create this reality, gives you that opportunity to experience intense range of emotions and feelings in events that you believe that you are not capable of controlling. You choose to enter into this vibrational level. You choose. You're not put here by some individual disaster. You must grow. You can have that if you wish. Once again, it's not right or wrong. It's your choice. What do you wish to believe? If you wish to go through that type of a reality to experience the emotions and feelings that surround those types of choices and decisions, you can have that. It's not right or wrong. It's your choice. It's your choice. If you wish to believe that you're not in control, that there's some entity that's controlling and creating your reality, you can have that too. You have all types of day-to-day activities that validate that belief system. Absolutely. If you choose to believe that it's possible to heal yourself, you can have that too. What do you believe? What do you believe? So you enter into this vibrational level. You put in place this electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand your creation process and who and what you truly are for a very simple reason. Because you see, when you believe you're not in control, you have the opportunity to experience a much more intense range of emotions and feelings. It's really that simple. We exist in a vibrational level similar to yours. We have never experienced and have absolutely no desire to experience existing within your vibrational level. We understand the creation process. We understand that we create. And we understand that like each of you, we create from a position of absolute unconditional love. But when you understand that, then you understand that the creation is your creation. And consequently, the emotions and feelings don't have the same impact as what you experience in your vibrational level where you believe you're not in control. You exist in this vibrational level for the opportunity to experience creations that you believe in your awakened consciousness state are beyond your capacity to control, for the simple reason that it allows you to experience an intense range of emotions and feelings. We would challenge each of you to look at any activity that you're involved in, absolutely any activity, and break it down as to why you're involved in that activity. Whether it's your employment, whether it's an activity that you do for your recreational purposes, it doesn't matter. Take any activity and break it down to the basics. Why do you do that? And eventually you will discover it's because you like to create some type of a reality that gives you certain emotions and feelings. It's why you exist in this vibrational level. It is so simple that once again it's disarming. And you go to great lengths to make it difficult to understand. And once again, to utilize our analogy of a movie theater, you understand when you're watching that projection upon the screen that that's someone else's production of what they wish for you to experience. And while you go through a complete range of emotions and feelings, you understand that it's an illusion. And so while those emotions and feelings can trigger some very deep emotions and feelings, they're nothing like what you experience when you enter into the real world. When you leave that theater and suddenly the relationships are real. And suddenly your interactions with other entities are real. And suddenly your access to abundance is real. And when it's real, it intensifies the emotions and feelings. And it, in your awakened consciousness state, becomes much more difficult for you to understand and to control. And the irony of it is that when you're in that awakened consciousness state, you are in the most illusionary state of consciousness that you can exist in, and you expend tremendous amounts of energy to sustain it, and you absolutely understand that you cannot sustain it indefinitely. It's an illusion. It's an illusion that you choose to exist in. And so you exist in this vibrational level. And you hold beliefs and belief systems, many times put in place in altered states of consciousness. And we utilize your between incarnational state to give you some type of an explanation that fits within your beliefs in time and space. The irony of it is that time and space don't really exist, and that you are continuously altering your reality. In your awakened consciousness state, you have a difficult time accepting that, absolutely, because once again, you put in a veil that limits your capacity to have that understanding in your awakened consciousness state. But in your altered state of consciousness, in your meditative states, and particularly in your dream states, you have the capacity to have that understanding that time and space are illusionary. In your meditative state, in that altered state of consciousness, through practice, if you wish, through utilizing, and because you believe in time and space, you believe that if you practice, if you go through an evolutionary process, if you spend time at it, it will get better. It makes it more real. If you could do it instantly, it wouldn't seem to be as real for you. And so you wish to go through all of this trouble of having to go through an evolutionary process to get better at something. If you practice at it, it will get better. And so you validate that belief in time and space by going through this evolutionary process of practicing to meditate. And you get to a point in that meditation where you can understand that time and space are illusionary. You can get to a point in that meditation when you can actually connect with that spark of consciousness that you are. You can get glimpses of that absolute unconditional love that each of you are. Each of you are absolute unconditional love. It's the spark of consciousness from which you create this reality. You can also enter into your dream state and be involved in what you like to refer to as lucid dreaming. The ability to take your consciousness into a dream state and actually consciously be involved in that dream and to manipulate it and to have it go in a direction that you find more desirable. To bring back into your awakened consciousness state a reality that you desire to experience. This reality that you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold. If you don't like your reality, alter your belief. When you alter your belief, you influence your choices and decisions, your thoughts and feelings. You influence what it is that you desire. You influence your imagination. And it all assembles and works together to create the reality that you desire. And it gives to you that which you desire. The irony of it is that each of you do it continuously. You're just not aware of it. But you have that capacity to become aware of it and to become proficient at it, to alter your reality through altering your consciousness and becoming aware of what your beliefs and belief systems are. That it is possible for you to heal yourself. That it is possible for you to create abundance. That it is possible for you to be involved in a meaningful relationship. It's rather ironic that some of you find absolutely no trouble with abundance. It's just something that you expect. You expect it. You see, the creation process is based upon what do you desire. Imagining what it's like to have it, each of your so-called inventions are simply the result of someone's imagination and their expectancy that it can be created. And so individuals who have no difficulty with abundance expect that there will be abundance. Now, however, perhaps for that individual, relationships are an entire different matter. Oh, now that's real. Oh, now I'm maybe not worthy. You don't have the expectation to be involved in a meaningful relationship. Ah, now that's difficult. And so you correct the reality to validate the belief you hold. Expectation. Very difficult for many individuals to accept that expectation. To expect that it's possible. To hold that belief that it's possible. To understand that through their expectation, through their choices and decisions, they influence their belief systems, they influence their attitudes, they influence their thoughts and feelings, and consequently, they alter their reality. Expectation. You see, what do you desire? Many individuals have a difficult time putting down what it is that they desire. To put it down in a pointed form, what do you desire, what's important, and as those importance change to alter the level of desires, but to have a clear understanding of what it is that you desire. And then, imagination. Once again, each of your so-called inventions that you experience in your day-to-day activities are the result of someone's imagination. Imagination. Imagine. Utilize your imagination to visualize what it is that you desire. Be very detailed in utilizing your imagination. The more detailed you are, the greater the capacity to create it, to bring it into your reality. And then you need to have the expectation. Aye, and there many times lies the difficulty. Expectation. Because you see, many individuals lack in feeling that it's possible. They lack in feeling that they deserve, that it's possible for them. We very seldom give any types of examples of what you should do to create your reality. It's your choice. This is your reality. Believe what you wish. It's not right or wrong. We're not here to suggest that one is superior to the other. If you wish to believe you're not in control, that's fine. You can have that. It's a perfectly legitimate belief system and it creates a reality that you can enjoy. Absolutely, go for it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong as well as accepting that you create the reality, and if you understand that and utilize that belief system that you can influence your reality, there's nothing wrong with that either. Neither one is right or wrong. What do you believe? What do you desire? What do you expect? And once again, that expectation many times can be very difficult for someone who's attempting to alter their reality. And once again, while we hesitate to give you any types of instructions, we would suggest that there is a very simple way for you to influence your expectation. You see, in order to influence your expectation, you have to like who you are. You have to learn to love yourself. You have to learn to love yourself unconditionally. You see, many times you're involved in relationships, loving relationships, but there are conditions. And it's fine to have conditions. It's what makes your society function. And so you're involved in a relationship with an individual, and you put on a condition for a certain situation that you're involved with, that you're going to assist someone with. And this condition is that providing you meet the conditions, I will continue to assist. For example, let's say that you're sending your child, one of your offspring, off to some type of an advanced education, and you decide that you're going to assist them in the payment of that education, whatever that might be, providing that they continue to meet certain expectations. And if they don't meet that expectations, then you're going to withdraw that particular assistance. There's nothing wrong with that. It's something that you do within a society that gives you limitations, understanding, it allows you to function. But what's important to understand that that is not a gift of love. It's a gift given to that, perhaps to someone that you love, but it's not a gift of love. You see, with a gift of love, there can be no conditions. Unconditional love means no condition. It's really that simple. And when you put a condition on, it becomes a contract. And contracts, once again, allow you to function within a society. But it's important that you understand the difference between unconditional love and love that simply supports someone in an endeavor with a condition placed upon that support. And so, to have that expectation, it becomes important that you like who you are and to consequently begin to love yourself unconditionally. And you begin to like who you are by putting down a list of principles that are important to you. Not principles that you're putting down a list because you want to influence or to impress someone else. Absolutely not. Principles that are important to you. Principles that would be an individual that you wish to be. And you put down your principles. Write them out. Don't just do it in your mind. Write it out. Make it real. And then apply your principles when you create the opportunities to apply them. Apply your principles. Now there will be times that you fail. It's rather ironic from where we look upon your reality. And we saw all types of examples where individuals are involved in activities where they base success upon achieving a certain goal 90% of the time. That's considered very successful. And so they make an issue of that being successful. And yet when it comes to applying a principle, when you fail at a principle, you have a tendency to dwell on it, to allow that to seep in, like I can't do this, like I'm a failure, I failed at that principle. And so you dwell on the one time that you failed to apply your principle, and you simply seem to forget about the other 99 times when you were successful. We would suggest that you put that 1% away, and you forget about it, and you dwell on the 99% of the time that you're successful. And as a result, you begin to strengthen your character. And you begin to like who you are. And when you begin to like who you are, there's some amazing things begin to happen. People begin to smile at you as you walk down the street because they sense that there's an energy about you. People like who you are, even though they don't know who you are. You begin to have that capacity to interact and to exchange with other individuals, seemingly without any effort. And those individuals many times will look like, walk away and look at you like, I wonder what happened there. Because you begin to like who you are. And when you begin to like who you are, then you begin as well to have the capacity to love yourself consciously. Each of you holds within you unconditional love. It's who and what you truly are. To bring it into your consciousness, however, that is a much more difficult concept for you to hold. Many times in your childhood, you're brought up thinking, well, if you like who you are, if you love yourself, that's just being conceited. You can't do that. You know, you can't put out that image that you are this individual who has all types of confidence. No, that's not right. And so you suffer from those beliefs and belief systems. Like who you are. Begin to love yourself consciously, unconditionally. Bring into your consciousness what you already contain within your subconscious, and then you begin to have the expectation. And then miraculous things begin to occur within your conscious existence. You have the capacity to alter your reality. We suggested, in terms of your years, a very long time ago, that you would enter into what we refer to as a new age and new energy in your so-called year of 2012. You would, as a human consciousness, have a subtle alteration of the energy that you utilize to create this reality. And as a result of the alteration of that energy, you would, from that point on, have the capacity to influence your reality consciously in a manner that was very difficult for you to achieve in the so-called previous period. So in this so-called new age and new energy, You do have that ability to influence your reality consciously. And if you can love yourself consciously, if you can bring that into your consciousness, then you begin to have the expectation that it's possible for you to create your reality. And as a result, you begin to believe that it is possible for you to make the proper choices and decisions. You begin to hold different attitudes and belief systems, and they influence your thoughts and feelings, and your whole reality changes, and you enter into an entirely different existence. There's a very strange thing that happens to many people as they enter into that alteration of the reality, in that their relationships, their activities, their reality changes, many times very subtly, but nonetheless changes. And once you begin to understand, and once you begin to hold that understanding consciously, you can never go back. You can't undo the knowledge. And consequently, you can't undo the changes that you bring into your reality. You can't go back. You need to be aware that should you make the choice to go through the necessary steps to take control of your reality, to accept the full responsibility for your reality, you can't go back. You can't undo knowledge. Knowledge is power. Knowledge gives you freedom. Knowledge gives you the ability to consciously influence your reality. Knowledge has an effect on your choices and decisions, your thoughts and feelings. Knowledge has an effect on your expectation. Knowledge is power. Knowing is very important. And so you exist in reality that you believe in your awakened consciousness state is real. Not only is it real, but it's beyond your capacity to control. And we suggest that it's not that way at all. We suggest that you exist in this reality by choice. You're not put here because you had to go through some type of growth or some type of advancement. Absolutely not. You can have that once again if that's what you desire, but it's not the way it is. You choose to be involved in this reality. And this reality that you're involved in is simply a reflection of the beliefs you hold. You create your reality entirely. There is not one instance in this reality that you're involved in that you are not responsible for the creation of. You create your reality. The God that you search for, that spark of consciousness, is who you are. There is not one entity existing in this vibrational level or in any of the other vibrational levels throughout all of creation who is any more or any less than what each of you are. You are all that is. And you cannot fail to come to that understanding. You're not involved in this type of creation process because you are subjected to some type of sentence or some type of growth pattern that you must go through. You can have that once again if you desire, but understand that's your choice. You choose to be involved in this vibrational level. You create your reality. And you cannot fail to come to that understanding. All the rest is an illusion. Those are the only three things that you cannot change. If you don't like your reality, change your belief systems and you will change your reality. You are the God you search for. You create your reality and you cannot fail to come to that understanding. All the rest is an illusion. What do you believe? Now, we frequently return to answer any questions that you might have. We would leave that option open to each of you. And in the meantime, we would bid each of you farewell with love and with peace. And we would suggest to you that should you choose to interact with us, we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. You have but to express the intent. We are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level. And so once again, we bid each of you farewell with love and with peace. Mm-hmm.